So listen, today we are finishing up our series on a fresh start, how to get a fresh start in life. And we started this on January 2nd as the year began. We took a break last week for child dedications. But I am convinced, well, I know that in late October, early November, the Lord started speaking to me about a fresh start for this church, for me as a pastor, for us as a church family, for you as individuals. Like right now, 2022, the beginning of this year, is the time for a fresh start on how we as a church family, and as individuals can be who God created us to be. And so if you're new with us today or you missed some of these sermons, I really encourage you to go online, go to our website, vineyard05.com, our Facebook page, check up, catch up on where we're at. Today's the last one. It was a four-part series. And by the way, in the month of February, starting next week, we're going to do another series called Living in the Age of Outrage, all about being a follower of Jesus and navigating your way through cancel culture. Come on. Should be a good one. All right, so, but today what I want to do is I want to try to help you answer that million-dollar question that we all have. What is the million-dollar question? What's God's will? What is God's will for me? Am I in God's will in what I'm trying to do? And wouldn't it be nice if we could just open up our Bibles and say, oh, yep, okay, Lord, yep, there it is. There's the map of my life from beginning to end. This is what I need to do, is follow this right here. God has given me the answers I need. Or wouldn't it be nice if we could hear God's voice so clear and so crisp and so audible that we wouldn't question or we wouldn't wonder or we wouldn't think the things that we're doing, whether or not are a part of God's will or not? Well, it's not that easy, is it? And these are things that we all think about, really, but we don't always have the answer to. But what I can tell you is that we have a creator in heaven who created us and has a perfect plan and purpose for each one of our lives. And it is so detailed that we have to figure it out. But it's so detailed that he even has, in Luke chapter 12, the very hairs on our head numbered. That's how much God cares about us. And for me, he's been doing a lot of subtracting. I'm like, well, I can see it's nicely shaped. One of these days, looks good from what I can see there. Kim, ask Kim, she's not kidding. I'm like, well, I was... But that's how detailed God has our life. He knows everything about us. But we don't always know whether or not we're in his will. Discovering God's will for our lives is different for each one of us. But the process is the same. So we're going to read a passage in Romans chapter 12 that will kind of lay the groundwork for this sermon and hopefully help you try to figure out the decision-making process. So Romans 12, verse 2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. This is from the New Living Translation, which I've been teaching from, and I've been really enjoying reading from this one lately. But some of you may be familiar with, do not be conformed to this world, but allow God to transform you by the renewing of your mind, or something like that. But I kind of like the way this one reads. It's a little different. But this right here, Romans 12:2, is the starting point for finding out what God's will is for our lives. Changing the way we think. See, and it's not just changing our thoughts and opinions on things, although that is part of it. When we come to Jesus, things start changing. We start thinking differently with moral things. We start thinking differently maybe with political things and social things. And we begin weighing things out a little bit differently because we're new on the inside. We've been transformed. But Paul went a little bit further and he said, you know, don't copy the behaviors of this world. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. And then you will know what the perfect will of God is for you. This is literally talking about changing our thinking process. We must be willing to allow God's Holy Spirit to transform us from the inside out. That's how this works. To the point that we no longer see things the way the world sees them, but we start seeing things the way God sees them. We start weighing things out like, well, I'm a follower of Jesus. Maybe I'm new in this. Maybe I'm a little bit into this. Maybe I've been doing this for many years. It's a process, and that's the whole transforming part, is it never ends. It's a process that as we continue through life as followers of Jesus, we need to constantly weigh out the way we think and the process that we go through when we make decisions in life. For instance, when faced with a decision or a challenge, do we start with panic or peace? Is our mind chaotic or is there an order to the way we're going to deal with this? Is it fear or faith that drives our decisions? Is it opportunity or failure that causes us to react or act the way we do? See what I'm saying? It's not just the thoughts that we have, but it's also the decision-making process that helps transform us into a new person by the way we think. Which then helps us understand how God thinks, and in turn, we learn what His will is for us. We must learn to think the way God thinks, and the only way to do that is by reading His Word. We will never learn to think the way God thinks if we are not reading the Bible on a regular basis. You're going to hear me say this a number of times today. See, also, we will never be transformed into a new person if we're not reading the Bible constantly, like every day. Because that's how it starts out, right? And then it's like 3 days a week, and then 2 days a week, and then once a month. And then I'll get to it when I can. I'll read this little devotion, which will help me. Listen, even I have a hard time making myself read this every day. You know, and then I say, well, I studied for this sermon, and I got some verses in me, and I did three devotions throughout the week. That's different. That's not personal time with God's Holy Spirit. You want to learn to think the way God thinks? You want to hear God's voice? This is the starting point right here. And then this is the midpoint. This is the transforming process that happens from this book right here. It's kind of like this. When you're in a good marriage, a successful marriage, a long-term marriage, it's worked out. Maybe you've had some ups and downs or whatever. Or you got a best friend. You guys have been besties for life. You grew up together and now you're adults, but you do things together. What happens in those relationships? You learn to think how the other person thinks. You understand what sets them off. You understand how they're going to act and react in situations because you've been around them. You're close to them. You know them. Well, it's the same by reading God's Word all the time. The more we read his word, the closer we come to him, the closer he comes to us, the more we get to understand him. He already knows us. When we mess up and we beat ourselves up and we're afraid to, you know, like, I'm not going to church this day. I'm not doing communion today because I really messed up. Do you think that God was like, I had no idea you were going to do that. I didn't see that one coming. No, he's like, I'm here for you. Let's get it over with and then draw back to me because I can help you. You see, oftentimes we see God's will as a destination we are trying to reach in life. It's a destination. But really, God calls us into a new way of living through his son, Jesus. See, destinations are endpoints. Should I marry this person? Should I take this job? God, if it be your will, I'll buy this car. Sometimes, are we wanting it to be God's will or are we looking for his approval in what we want to do? And that's where compromise sneaks in. You know, God wants to be involved in all of those decisions. But if our way of living isn't lined up with his, those are just endpoints. It's a decision-making process. And we'll have many endpoints as we go through life. Those are secondary. The way we live and represent the kingdom of God is what is most important, because it is through this way of living that we discover God's will for our lives. Number one, his will for us is to be with him. And then all those other things, they're secondary. They're destinations as we go through life. Listen, let's read a passage in Proverbs chapter 3. And I'm just going to read verses 5 and 6, but if you read this whole Proverbs 3, man, it is full of some good stuff. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. And just for funsies, let's read the next verse. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Then you will have healing for your body and strength to your bones. And just so you know, that fear of the Lord means to honor him, to revere him, to hold him in high esteem, to be in awe of him. Isn't that good stuff? But listen, it's all about trust. Trust is what messed us up in the very beginning with Adam and Eve. They let the devil get in there and mess with their heads, and they began to, they compromised. And the trust that they had with God at first was broken. Trust is the most important thing. Trusting in Jesus for the wisdom in our decision-making process. Trusting in the Lord with all your heart means with every fiber of your being, with everything you have, with every decision you make, with every reaction and response and action that you have. Trusting in the Lord with all your heart. In everything we do, we must put our trust in him before we put our trust in ourselves. By seeking God's will in all we do gives him the opportunity to show us which path to take. Because according to this passage in Proverbs chapter 3, there's more than one path. And it's often when we find ourselves on a different path is where we find ourselves in trouble. That's the path, I would say, that speaks of our own wisdom, our own thoughts, our own will. There's many paths that can be taken, but God has the right one for each one of us. And by seeking his will in all we do, it gives him the opportunity to direct us on that path. Again, the way of living is more important than the destination. A rock solid trust in Jesus must become a way of life if we want to be in sync with His will for us. See, the goal is for God to bring us closer to Him, for us to be closer to Him. That's the whole goal. In 2 Peter chapter 3, 1 Peter, one of those two, chapter 3, God's will is that none should perish without getting to know Him. Ultimately, that's His will. So what is His will for all of us as followers of Jesus? To learn to think how He thinks, to be the mirror image of Him, and to help others find that path that leads them to heaven. Ultimately, that is it. But sometimes, you know, we find ourselves drifting away from Him. We find ourselves off that path we were once on that felt like we were in the right spot. So what happens is, when we finally figure that out, then we need to press into Him more. What does that mean, press into Him more? Start reading the Bible again. You know, you can pray and pray and pray and beg and beg and beg and talk to God and wonder why things aren't working out right. But if you're not reading the Bible, you're going to have a harder time hearing from Him. And again, I don't mean just open it up in any random spot and say, okay, Lord, I need to hear from You. Pick a spot, pick the Gospel of Matthew in the New Testament and just start reading. Read a chapter a day. Sooner or later, you'll come across something and you'll be like, whoa, that's me. That's what I need to do. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. That's how it works. So maybe you've drifted away a little bit. Maybe the trust isn't quite there anymore. Maybe you've let compromise enter the scene and you know you're not on the right path and you're questioning things and maybe you're growing impatient with what you think God's will is for you. And so you're frustrated. Well, the thing is, lots of people are in that spot. And many people that God used in big ways went through those things. For instance, Abraham, who is known as the father of faith. You can write these names down and then read about them later. Abraham was the father of faith. God used him mightily in a big, big way. And God told Abraham what the plans were for him. But Abraham and his wife were saying, we are way too old for this. It isn't going to happen. So Abraham took matters into his own hands and made a big mistake. He got impatient. How about Moses? God had big plans He wanted to use through Moses. And Moses argued with God. This isn't for me. I don't want to do this. I'm not cut out for this. I can't do this. God said, you know what? You don't have a choice. I want you to do this. So to help you, I'll bring your brother along with you. Or there's Gideon. Gideon was a commander of an army. God said, you know what? You got a big army, but I want to whittle it down to basically a few hundred men. So Gideon's like, okay, I will, but listen, God, I need to know your answer. You know, so can you answer me this way? God's, yep. Can you answer me that way now? God says, yep. Can you answer me in all the ways? And God said, yep. Gideon just doubted the things that God did. And if God answered me, I would think, the way He did Gideon, I'd be like, the first one would have been enough. I think, but it's hindsight, right? So a lot of people that God used in the Bible, they weren't too sure of God's will either. But some of these guys are like they're in the hall of faith, the heroes of faith in the book of Hebrews. How about this Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18? The way of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, which shines ever brighter until the full light of day. So picture this. Like the sun that slowly comes up over the horizon and brightens the daytime, God's will for our lives slowly gets brighter and brighter and brighter until it becomes obvious. Far too often, we're looking for that destination. We're looking for that end point, when in fact, God is drawing us into a new way of living, a new way of thinking. He paves the way for us to navigate through life with Him by our side as our way of living mirrors the kingdom of God. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 says, be imitators of God. Be the image of God to those around you. Mirror the image of the kingdom of God. Because that's what we are called to do. And none of what we're talking about today is going to make any difference if we're not reading our Bibles. It's not. See, in this proverb, chapter 4 here, the way of the righteous, and some versions say the path of the righteous, it means a person who is living according to God's word. When you start getting closer to God and getting an understanding of who he is, it's like the sun that comes up over the horizon. It's a little orange blip, and then it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and more beautiful, and the next thing you know, you're like, ah, I got it now. I'm there. Now I will constantly transform into the way he wants me to be. Psalm 119, 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. See, the Bible, God's word, is not a map. Ready for this? It's not a map. It's a compass. It's a light in a dark world. It directs us. It leads us. It guides us. We, as human beings, we want a map. We want God. We want the plans right here. God, I want to know where I'm going, where the obstacles are going to be, and how you and I are going to get there. And God says, well, if you follow my lead, it will be an adventure. I promise you. And you will come out on top, because I'll be with you the whole way. See, when we use God's word as a compass, as a guide, as a direction to find out which path we need to be on, it becomes more of an adventure. And then it directs every decision, every dream, every idea, every obstacle, every crossroad, every crisis, every doubt, everything that we come up against. It guides us and leads us through that. The closer we are to God and his word, the easier it will be for us to navigate through all the complications with God's truth in our hearts. Because let's face it, life is complicated. And again, we want God to lay it all out for us when God says, just follow my lead. We'll figure this out as we go along together. So maybe you're here and you're like, hey, I really like this, Chip. You know, I'm going to start reading the Bible tomorrow. Well, we got Bible reading plans out in the foyer there. Pick one up and start. Or maybe you're like, you know, I could try. But I don't know exactly, this whole God's will thing and transformation thing and way of thinking thing, I'm not too sure exactly what you mean. Okay, great. Let's look at some examples. What is God's will for us when facing adversity? When facing adversity. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 and 18. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. You know, no matter how tough a day I've had, when I go to bed at night, I always find something to thank God for. I have to. So the question is, well, you know, adversity. I'm having a relational issue. I got an issue at work. I got somebody and we're really clashing. This isn't working out. Like, you got adversity in your life. Are you joyful? Are you praying for the situation? Are you thankful in all circumstances? Because that's God's will for us in all things. Or instead of being joyful, are we upset? Instead of praying, are we so focused on the issue at hand that it is so big, we can't even think about praying? Praying's not even an option right now. It's clouded. My thoughts are clouded. Instead of being thankful, are we complaining? So, how about this one? What is God's will for us when someone hurts us offends us. Ephesians chapter 4. Be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. See, God's word is challenging. And it'll cause us to, like, whoa, you mean, is that, that's what I have to do? That's what you have to do. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, to you who are willing to listen, that's how he starts it out, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those that hurt you. Ow. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who hurt you. Now, that last one, pray for those. All right, I can do that because God really needs to change them. Isn't that how we do it? And we say, God, I've been praying for you to change them. Let's change that prayer a little bit. God, will you help me see them the way you see them? It'll change your life. It'll rock your world. God, will you help me see them the way you see them? Because if we are supposed to be imitators of God, mirroring the image of the kingdom of God to those around us, then we need to be the ones that need to make the change. Are we able to forgive others? Can we love those that hurt us? Can we do good to those that hate us? That's challenging, man. That isn't easy to do. But if we want to know what God's will is for us in all things, even the small things, should I buy this car? Should we buy this house? Should I invest my money in this? You know, those are destinations, and those are important, and God wants to be involved in that. But it makes it a lot harder if we're not doing the things that His Word tells us to do. See, to be like Jesus is to carry out the will of the Father. To be able to navigate through life, not depending on our own understanding, is to wrestle out some of these tough passages with God. It's okay to read this and say, God, you know what that person did to me. I'm really struggling with this. I struggle with this. Can you help me? That should be the conversation starter right there. Instead of, God, I know what your word's saying, but there is no way I can do this. Let's move on to another page. Man, you wrestle these tough passages out with God, and I promise you, your life will change. That transforming process in the way you think will begin to happen. And God's Holy Spirit will just flood your spirit with the things of God, the kingdom of God, the ways of God. And one more. What is God's will for my daily interaction with people? Like, don't talk to me until I've had my coffee. It takes me a little while to wake up in the morning. Kim's already been up for like maybe 3 hours. And she's got all kinds of stuff ready to tell me. You know, and I'm like, ugh. How do we deal? Sorry. Not grumpy, I'm just not awake yet. How do we deal with people? Colossians chapter 4. Live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone. And that's challenging. Do people know that I'm a follower of Jesus by the way I act? The words that I use, the tone in my voice? Am I helpful with my coworkers, to strangers, my neighbors, my friends? Do I speak kindly of all people? We all struggle with this. I struggle with a tone. I have a tone in my voice. Sometimes. Or I'll see myself in the mirror and I'm walking. I'm like, what are you so mad about? It's just my facial expressions. And I got to put a smile on. But it's just, I don't want to be look like a big grump. But it's just, you know, if I'm focused. Do some self-reflecting. What kind of a vibe are you putting off? Is it kingdom? And these are just a few examples of the will of God for all of us. And there's just three of them. And if we cannot follow these examples God's word gives us, how are we going to represent his kingdom to others? So we'll wrap it up with this. To understand what the good and pleasing and perfect will of God is for our lives, we must first understand who God is and then learn to represent him well. By speaking his will, his ways, in all we do, it gives him the room to direct us on the right path, and his light will shine brighter and brighter as each day passes. To understand God's perfect will for our lives is less about the destination we have our sights on and more about the way of living God wants to see us do. Ultimately, the way we live God's will for us is Romans chapter 12. Not copying the behavior and the customs of this world, but allowing God to transform us into new people by changing the way we think. This is what changes our regular life and puts us on a path of the great adventure with Jesus. It's what builds our trust in him and helps us become the person that he created us to be. And it is in this journey of kingdom living and seeking God's will that we clearly understand and follow the ways of Jesus. And it is in this kingdom mind of way of living that God's word leads us to and through each destination as we follow his lead on this journey in life. Amen? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I just thank you for your word, God. I thank you, Jesus, for how challenging it is. I thank you for the way it breathes life into our spirits. I thank you for when we can be honest with you, God. We can wrestle things out with you that challenge us. And you can change our way of thinking so that we are in sync with you. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.